Welcome to Living Fullness, a podcast where you're invited to walk with two unusual friends through the ups and downs of the art of friendship. My name is Stina Constantine.
My name is Father Sean Burns. And together, we explore what it takes to grow real, satisfying friendships, the joys and challenges we face along the way, and of course, becoming a good friend ourselves.
We hope by sharing our learning and experiences, this podcast will serve you in living your life to the full. Welcome back to our episode on Fullness. We're excited to be here once again. How are you today, Pato?
Well, thank you.
That's good.
Yeah. Good. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. Keen to be here. Keen to do this.
Yeah.
Let's get into the crux of it.
Let's do it. Very good.
So this week what we wanted to do is delve into the NPR, so the natural progression of relationship. And the natural progression of relationship is something that Sarah Swafford, who is the founder and the instigator of emotional virtue in the States, came up with. So credit goes to Sarah for some of the things that we're about to talk to. What we've done, though, is taken the natural progression of relationship, which basically sort of sets out how a relationship in a healthy way can grow from the point of meeting and being acquainted and moving all the way through into a romantic relationship and into marriage. And so what we've done is taken the NPR and sort of developed in certain areas of it, especially around the friendship component of that NPR, and added a bit to it. So
yeah.
We're kind of keen to share some of our thoughts on that.
Yeah, exactly. So as you've said, Stina, the natural progression of a relationship begins with acquaintance, and we've already spoken about acquaintances already, but for the sake of being able to, as one of my lecturers would say, like the waves of a beach cover what has been what has already been, and go that little bit further, you know. And what did we say about acquaintances?
So basically, we talked about acquaintances being like the kind of relationship that we have with someone who isn't necessarily a stranger. You know, these are the people that we talk to. It might be quite frequently, depending on where we are or the situations that we put ourselves in. You know, it might be the shop attendant. You know, it might be the bus driver on public transport. Someone we see quite regularly, but we're not necessarily in any kind of deeper relationship with them, and we're not necessarily looking to be in a deeper relationship with them either. So these are the people that I sort of think of as, you know, they're the people I enjoy having brief conversations with when I encounter them, but I'm probably not going to invite them over to a private family dinner.
Sure. And it's worthwhile saying that, as with every interaction, it's based on the love of God. Mm. Even though it's not an interaction that's particularly deep, it's still an interaction that's based on the love of Almighty God.
Yeah, and so we've talked about this before in previous podcasts. If you are interested, go back and listen to those episodes where, you know, this is not the intensity of this kind of relationship is lower, but the value of the relationship is not lowered as such.
So. Yeah. So that brings us to friendship. When we look at the progression, we have acquaintances where there is a lower level intensity friendship, and the value that it's placed on it is also different from friendship as well. The value comes from, we value the person the same way that we always should, which is that we love them because they're made in the image and likeness of God.
Yeah.
But there is often a personal value of, this is a relationship that we don't value as much as, say, the relationship that we have with someone who's part of our family or close friendship group. That's a fairly natural
definitely thing.
So to move from acquaintance to friendship, and we will talk about sort of how that kind of, what that process looks like.
Oh, sure.
In due course, we will talk about that. We promise we won't leave you hanging on that. But for now, just to look at friendship for a moment and say, well, what does friendship look like? And I'd like to posit, I'd like to put forward that there are three different kinds of friendship.
Oh, this is your own original thought, is it?
And it is not my own original thought. I wish it was my own original thought, but it's not. the stuff that I'm about to kind of just cover briefly,
which might be familiar to some already, right?
Yeah, exactly. Comes from Aristotle, and it is also covered by St. Thomas Aquinas. Aristotle talks about three different kinds of friendship. He talks about, firstly, a friendship of utility, a friendship of pleasure, and then a friendship of goodness. And for the friendship of utility, he would count that as acquaintance. And now we have a problem. You know, we've just spent time telling you about the fact that acquaintances are not the same as friends. And now I've just come along and gone, hey, there's this guy called Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas who reckon there's this thing called a friendship of utility.
Thanks for nothing, Padre.
And so what have I, what does Aristotle mean? For Aristotle, friendship is an extremely broad term. For us, it really isn't. Although we may mean a lot when we say friendship, generally speaking, when we talk about friendship, we haven't got categories in mind. When we talk about friendship, we're just talking about, these are my friends. And we often don't distinguish between a lower level friend and a higher level friend. Forgive me for using very stark language there. We often just use the word friendship a bit like we use the word love.
Yeah.
You know, I love chocolate, I love chips, I love my mum. Well, hopefully you don't love your mum the same way you love chocolate and chips, you know. Whereas for Aristotle, he was very clear that friendship was an extremely broad term. And in this case, in the case of a friendship of utility, he saw that there was the possibility of two people who bond over a common situation. They are helpful to each other. You know, it is a helpful relationship, as we often see in colleagues and students.
Yeah. Utility literally being, you know, useful to one another.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that we say a lot about use here as well. So we will distinguish between good use and bad use. Promise, we will. We will do that. Okay, and then we go on to the friendship of pleasure, which is really a friendship that's based upon passion. Mm. It's a friendship that's based on our emotions, you know, it's the enjoyment of another's presence. Think of a group of friends at youth group or band or shared interests and company that we enjoy. You know, that's a friendship of pleasure.
And these things can overlap, right?
Exactly, these two types
of friendship can overlap. So it's not like we have a useful friendship that we don't also take delight in, or a friendship of pleasure that we don't also have some elements that where we can be useful to one another.
Right.
They can overlap too.
Absolutely. There is an overlap here. And in fact, Aristotle would say that as you progress in each kind of friendship, that it subsumes the previous one. So the previous one is included. So in a friendship of pleasure, there's also utility. Now, with the friendships of utility and pleasure, though, Aristotle says to us that that these two kinds of friendship are very likely to fizzle out fast. That a change of circumstances or sort of a change in relationship, someone gets married or someone moves, that sort of thing, that very quickly those friendships will actually sort of cease to exist. And that's not a bad thing. It doesn't represent that there's anything morally wrong or problematic. It's just that people have moved on. And I think a really classic example of that is school.
There's a common situation there where a group of people are, you know, come together at a particular school, a particular class, a particular group. There might be some common interests that sort of come out of that as we develop, and so therefore we click with certain people. But then as we start exploring a bit more about who we are independent of that, we start making different decisions and we find out that, oh, okay, maybe these people, although the emotions might be quite strong and there might have been a great deal of a connection between them, actually there's, you know, once you sort of take away that situation you take away that interest, or just simply because you've grown and changed, all of a sudden those relationships don't seem to work the same way that they did before. And like you said, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong at all. The final one that Aristotle covers is the friendship of goodness. And this friendship is based on mutual growth in virtue, and it's directed towards our eternal end, towards God. It is inclusive of the other two. So there is this pleasure and utility aspect to it as well. And the friendship, where friendships of utility and pleasure are not meant to last, a friendship of goodness does. It survives the circumstances. It survives the changes and the growths because it's a constantly growing reality.
Well, that begs a question. What you just said there: can you have a friendship of goodness then? That, you know, it, like, let's say that there was a friendship of goodness, or what you thought was a friendship of goodness, and then as time goes on, all of a sudden it fizzles out, or things change.
Right.
You know, when you look back in hindsight, because it's changed and because it's no longer that kind of a friendship, does that mean it wasn't a friendship of goodness then?
Let me rephrase. Well done. I have just been schooled rather thoroughly.
That was an honest query.
The honest query was an excellent query. You're absolutely right. Just because friendships of goodness are able to survive the circumstances, are able to go through growth, doesn't mean that they won't necessarily fizzle out. Things do happen, circumstances do change. Our moral lives sometimes go up or down, better, worse. All these things can have impacts on a friendship of goodness, and they can cause it to be strained or to end or to fizzle out. Often my experience is that in a friendship of goodness that has not been maintained in the same way that it always has, that has not been maintained due to distance or due to circumstances, often when those two people come back together again, it's kind of like no time at all has passed. That there's still a deep bond there that somehow exists. So I think that is one thing that's interesting about a friendship of goodness, is that even when there hasn't been a whole lot of contact, maybe here or there, but not a stack of it, that you would consider kind of ongoing work on the friendship, as it were, people can still pick back up rather easily. So there is a bond there that seems to survive the circumstances. But we must admit that here on Earth, things are finite. And so not all friendships of goodness survive circumstances. And they do change. Necessarily, they have to change. But insofar as it is a friendship of goodness, and insofar as both have the other in mind and want the best for the other, even a decision to discontinue a friendship or to limit contact, or these decisions are even the fruits, you might say, of a friendship of goodness, that you're actually willing the good of the other for the sake of the other.
Definitely.
So
I suppose then, with what you're saying, Padre, would it be fair, in very sort of very brief set of words, to say that friendships of pleasure and friendships of utility are very much in the here and now, or in the tomorrow, or maybe even in the next week, kind of a time span and spectrum of thought, whereas with friendship of goodness, it's much longer term than that, in the sense that there is an end goal that is much further along, and more about the other than it is about self.
Sure.
Not that there necessarily is... Not that I'm suggesting that friendships of utility and of pleasure, those kinds of relationships, are all about selfishness.
No.
Not that I'm suggesting that, but that there is more about the other in a friendship of goodness than there is with a friendship of utility and of pleasure.
Yeah. No, I think that is a fair point. Because there's a deeper relationship present, so you get to know more of the person, and therefore naturally, it is a more other-centered relationship.
And because of that end goal that you were talking about before, there is something more here than just us having a good time or us sharing certain interests or or being able to help one another with something that is resourceful, like just being resourceful to one another. Precisely. There is something much deeper and much more, I don't know, much more profound in a friendship of goodness than
That's right. That's right. And just to give a bit of an example of a friendship of goodness, in the Roman canon, for those of you who don't know the Roman canon, I don't mean like, you know.
yes.
the Roman canon is the oldest Eucharistic prayer that the Catholic Church has. Uh-huh. And it's the most beautiful as well.
Right.
People would argue that.
You consider it the most beautiful. The most beautiful.
And not just because it's old, because it really is beautiful. And in that Eucharistic prayer, a number of saints are mentioned for them to intercede for us. And two saints that are mentioned are Felicity and Perpetua.
Mm.
And their story, I encourage you to find out more about all the saints in the Eucharistic prayer because they're just so awesome.
There are some epic stories they really are. Saints of old.
They really are. It's incredible stuff. Felicity was a slave girl, a pregnant slave girl, and she confessed belief in Jesus Christ, and the Roman authorities arrested her for her faith. Perpetua was a noble woman, and her father told her that she had to renounce the Christian faith that she professed, and she wouldn't do it. And so she was locked up in prison as well. Mm. And it was the same prison that Felicity was in. And so they met in prison. They formed a friendship in prison. And that friendship helped them to support one another and to encourage one another to endure martyrdom for the sake of Christ's holy name. Mm. They were both thrown to the lions and then killed with swords. It was rather, you know, very...
It's quite gruesome.
A very gruesome death, but they encouraged one another. And so their end, their entire friendship and relationship was based on encouraging one another to Jesus Christ, to union with God. You know, there's actually an entire episode written on it called The Passion of Saints Felicity and Perpetua.
Oh, right.
And it's really awesome.
Yeah. Wow. That example, you know, if I'm thinking about friendships of utility, what kind of usefulness would they have been to one another whilst they're in jail? Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe there were some things that they could share. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. In terms of even
something like a listening ear.
In
jail would constitute utility.
Yeah.
You know. And even just the mere fact that you've got somebody sitting next to you is a friendship of pleasure sort of thing.
Like somebody
who you have a comfort there and enjoy the company of.
Mm.
And then someone who's directing you to God. I mean, that's huge.
That is huge.
Yeah.
That is absolutely huge. Because there's options there. You could still be a listening ear and still be a comfort to someone, but not necessarily be someone who also wants the other to move closer in relationship with God. Like you can still have...
Yeah, at least not actively engaging in that. Yeah,
right. And so it's evident here that with these two, actually these two had something much more, much bigger as their desire for the other in mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Yeah. Which is kind of awesome.
It is. So that's our friendship of utility... Pleasure and goodness, yeah.
One of the things we have talked about before too. Now you'll have to tell me whether this is an Aristotle thing or an Aquinas thing or somebody else altogether. We've talked about how friendships of utility and of pleasure aren't necessarily the fullest form of friendship.
Mm.
Who is that by?
Stina Constantine.
No, stop. No.
I don't know. It sounds like it could come from either one of them.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, sure. So in that sense then, can we, you know, does that, like just thinking about, well, if pleasure and utility types of relationships aren't the fullest form, then, you know, what does that mean for them in comparison to a friendship of goodness?
I think it's not a denigration. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first thing to realize, is that to say it's not the full form of friendship is not a denigration of them. It's not to say that they are somehow, it doesn't mean to speak of them disparagingly.
Sure.
That way, right?
Sure.
But what it is to say is that the fullest form of friendship is the friendship which is an imitation of the friendship that Christ has with each one of us.
Mm.
And the friendships of utility and of pleasure, they do reflect that to some degree. Mm. But the most perfect manner of reflection is to be found in the friendship of goodness, where it's really founded on virtue rather than on utility or pleasure.
Mm. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Mm. So in that sense, these other forms of friendships aren't bad then.
No, not at all.
They have their place. It's just on the grand scale of things, they're just not at their fullest capacity. Being in a relationship of utility or in a relationship of a pleasure doesn't necessarily mean that that particular relationship is going to end up in a relationship that is good. Although
a friendship of goodness, yeah.
Not every single person that we encounter, although we ought to love them to the best of our ability, not every single one, we've said this before, that we don't have to be friends with every person that we meet.
Exactly.
And so in that sense, not every friendship that we have, whether a friendship of pleasure or utility, doesn't necessarily mean that this will be a friendship that will also end up as a friendship of goodness, of virtue.
Mm.
Although it may, like, you just may not be in the right friendship for that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you may not be the right person to be able to help the other to the best of their ability. And like you said before, you know, even stepping out of those friendships, if you're not helping the other, or if the other isn't helping you, that in itself being charity, which we talked about before, that is virtuous and good and is love, but it doesn't mean that there was some sort of a failure there. Of
No, exactly. Goodness. That's right. That's right. And I think that's an important thing to say too, is that, you know, even when friendships of goodness, you know, when they come to an end, or they seem to not being maintained for a period of time, it is not in any means it is not necessarily indicative of any moral failure on either one of them.
Mm.
And as I say, generally speaking, you know, two people who have been in a friendship of goodness are generally able to rekindle that bond quite quickly, because it's a bond that transcends circumstance.
Mm.
I think where it struggles to be rekindled is when there has been some moral failure, where trust has been broken.
Yeah, right. That's such a good point. And we will have to get into that a bit more.
It's like an episode of Promises. We
could dive into it, but the trouble is we'd be linking stuff up left, right and centre, and then you guys would be going, what are you talking about now? So we're trying to just take it in bite sizes and flesh it out as much as we can and then build upon that.
Exactly.
But that should not stop you guys from sending us in questions and comments if you have them. We definitely want to hear from you. So jump over to our Facebook group, Living Fullness. Pop in your, well, you know, join the group first of all, and then pop in your questions and comments there. You can also find our Facebook page and our Instagram page on Virtue Ministry, where we'll put up different posts and different updates and different thoughts like that. So you can jump on and follow that as well to continue the discussion.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, that takes us to the end of this episode.
Into truth, goodness and beauty.
Yeah. So this is something we're trying to do at the end of every episode. It's just to reflect back on our week and pay attention, really. It's a good habit for us to get into, to pay attention to the different gifts that we receive and be grateful for those things. So it's an opportunity for us to share what we've experienced, a moment that we've experienced over the last week. I always ask you to go first.
Ladies first.
Okay. So I had somewhat of a rough few days, and I had contacted a friend, and this friend of mine, beautiful, beautiful woman, she and I were talking, and she let me express what had just been happening, and she very compassionately listened to what I had to say and responded in different ways and really empathized with where I was at. And then at the end of that conversation, she said, now, Stina, there is something I want to tell you and you're not going to like it. Oh, great, here it comes. She goes, I'm really excited about what comes next, which was very contrary to the way I had been feeling because there was so much fear and anxiety around what was coming next. So for this friend to turn around and say, I'm really excited, and she knew me well enough to know that this was not going to be something easy for me to hear, but it was something that I needed to hear. And so she helped me sort of shift my perspective. But it just gave me a moment to appreciate just how blessed I am to have a friendship like that, where someone, even in, you know, in periods where things are very dark and very difficult and very uncomfortable and painful, she's able to be a listening ear and do the right thing by me and by my friendship, but she wants more for me than that. So that was really, really cool, really beautiful.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's mine, Padre. What about you?
So mine is it kind of links back to something that happened a few years ago. Yeah.
How does that work for this week?
Well, I tell you, I have, or we have, or the seminary has, I think I just linked the seminary with myself. it's a bit weird, I'm sorry. The seminary has a prospective student staying with them. And this young man I spoke to about 3 years ago. And I said, would you think of joining the priesthood? Would you like to come to one of our vocation days? And he looked me square in the eye and he went, no.
You can't be any more clear than that.
It was clear as anything. Look me square in the eye. No, never. All right. No worries at all.
Never it is.
Anyway, all of a sudden this man's like, I want to spend a week here and see if I can join next to you. All right, let's talk.
Wow.
So just to see how God works his wonders.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Wow, how cool. Yeah. Moral of the story, never say never, huh?
Never say never. So that's the... It's a bit of truth and goodness and beauty kind of rolled into that thing there.
But definitely.
But God's goodness at play.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. How beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode. If you enjoyed it and found it helpful, please rate our podcast and share it with someone. That just might help someone else find this podcast too. So that we can best serve you, we want to get to know you. Let us know your thoughts, comments, and questions either by joining the Living Fullness Facebook group at Virtue Ministry or our Instagram page, also at Virtue Ministry. We'll catch you again on Wednesday next week for a new episode on Living Fullness. Until then, know of our love and prayers.